It was still tough, but when we found Rook C2, I was really hopeful that the game could be saved. And as everybody expected, I would end up with a silver medal. He could calculate instantly, multiplying big numbers. And when I saw him taking a piece of paper and writing something, and it meant that some kind of a miracle has happened.
You are listening to KasparovChess.com podcast, episode 7.
In January 1976, I traveled from Baku to Tbilisi, the capital of neighboring Republic of Georgia, to participate in the Soviet Junior Championship under 18. It was my second championship, and after finishing seventh a year early in Vilnius and narrowly missing a medal after a terrible blunder in the last round, I was eager to improve my result. Though the dream of winning the title at age 12 seemed to be far-fetched, I was still the youngest player in the field, but I had no doubt that my elder opponents would take me seriously, since I've already gained notoriety in the old Soviet chess arena. The event took place in the Chess Palace, a magnificent building, fully dedicated to the game of chess. And it was not surprising, because chess was immensely popular in the Republic of Georgia. The legendary Nona Gaprindashvili was women world champion since 1962. And in 1975, she was challenged by another Georgian player, Nana Alexandre, thus making women world championship match an internal Georgian affair. And in the girls section of junior championship, everybody expected a new rising star of Georgian chess, Maya Chiburdanidze, to be totally dominant. And the local organizers also hoped that 16-year-old Zurab Stura, who had recently won Georgian adult championship, would be able to match Maya's performance. In the first round, I beat with black in a sharp Sicilian game, a little known player from Belarus. But it was an important psychological victory, because the same player defeated me in the first round of Spartak Junior Championship in July 1975. And after winning a very tense, complicated game in round two, in round three, I faced Rafik Abdurakhmanov, another student from Botvinnik School, who had been playing in Tbilisi's stellar tournament up to the last round. It was a very sharp King's Indian. I found myself on defensive, and Rafik has been sacrificing material. And in a very tense position, he offered a draw. And as a matter of fact, computers today show that position was roughly equal, though there was plenty of fight ahead, but so no reasons to decline the offer, since I was never a big fan of defending myself against an opponent who was willing to sacrifice material willingly. Then in round four, I beat Simbat Vuputian, my old rival. And I say old rival because before Tbilisi, we already managed to play four games. The first three we played in the spring 1973 in Baku in a friendly match, Azerbaijan-Armenia. And Black won all three games. And I have to say that I was playing one extra game with white. And the fourth game we played in Vilnius in summer 1973. It was already an official match, Azerbaijan-Armenia. And again, black was pushing. I was playing black that time, but it was a draw. So in Tbilisi, I played white, and I managed to break up the cycle and beat Sambat and equalize our score. In round five, I faced Leonid Yudasin, another future grandmaster, and a player who I faced a few months earlier in the Spartak Championship in summer 1975. We played another close Sicilian, and I won again. And I can't help boasting that we played in total five games, all games I played with black, all Sicilians, and I won all of them. The last one in 1995. Then I made two draws. One of them was with Zurab Sturo, and I have to say that I was under serious pressure. There I played white. But I managed to escape. It was a draw. And in round eight, I played Leonid Yurtaev. And it was a very important victory. Again, also psychologically, because it was a revenge for devastating defeat in round four in Vilnius, when after winning first three games, I lost very poorly with white pieces against him. The game was tough. I was under pressure, but managed to survive the onslaught and then showed good technique in the end game, extra pawn and opposite color bishops. And before the last round, I was tying first, second with Rafiq Abdurakhmanov. We both had plus five, 6.5 out of eight. And Zurab Sturo was trailing by half a point. He had six. And there was a group of other players with 5.5. In the last round, Sturo had to face Abdurakhmanov, and he had white pieces. And it was clear that Rafiq would have a tough time, because Zurab was determined to realize hopes of his compatriots and to catch up with Maya Chibordinidze, who was comfortably leading before the last round, and everybody expected her to clinch the title. I had white pieces against a 15-year-old Zigris Langer from Latvia. And I have to say that I was quite tired. I can hardly blame myself for being emotionally exhausted. I was just 12 years old. And I didn't know exactly what I have to do in the last round, because I knew that if we tie first with Abdurakhmanov or Sturo, my tiebreak was not good. Abdurakhmanov had by far the best tiebreak, Bulgakov tiebreak. Sturo was following him, and it would take a miracle for my tiebreak to be improved in the last round. So to win the title, I had to win the last game, hoping that Sturo would not lose to Abdurakhmanov. But from the very beginning, it was clear that Rafiq was trying to hold the position, and he found himself under serious pressure, positional pressure. And Sturo looked very confident, and I had little doubts that he would win this game. I also have to add that while the whole tournament took place in the foyer of the Chess Palace, the last round, the top games, both from boys and girls sections, were played on stage. That was the first time where I could enjoy such royal conditions. of playing on the stage. And probably it also added to my anxiety. To my surprise, Wanka played Marozzi Sicilian that he never played before. And he was playing fast, repeating "My Game with Your Tie," the one just had mentioned in Vilnius in 1975, that I lost so badly. And by move 16, we reached this critical position. And after some considerations, I made the same bad move, A3, move 17, as I did in Vilnius. But this time I thought that if Wanka followed Yurtaev's footsteps, I knew how to improve my game. And the analysis that we made after that game so proved that Black's attack could be refuted. But of course, Wanka prepared a significant improvement. After f4, bishop takes f4, he played queen f5, immediately bringing queen to the kingside instead of bishop d4 check, which was played by Yurtaev, and that was a mistake. Computers even show that queen h5 was even stronger, giving Black a very serious initiative. And it's not surprising because all Black pieces except rook on a8 are in the game. And they are attacking White's king on g1. You look at the position, it's the queen appears on h5 or f5, bishop from b7, then bishop from g7, knight on e6, and of course, rook on g8. That is just looking at g2, and that makes the life of White's king very uncomfortable because the white pieces are not well located to defend their king against enemy's attack. For many years, I thought that instead of a3, I had to play knight d5. That offered White a slightly better endgame. And it was even recommended in my book, Kasparov on Kasparov. And only recently, checking this position with more powerful chess engines, I found, actually it was found by computer, I just looked at the screen and discovered that instead of a3 or knight d5, White could have played c5, sacrificing the pawn but cutting Black's queen from the king side. And after bc5, a quiet move king h1, preparing bishop c4. And despite the fact that Black has an extra pawn, everything is changing. That position in the center is compromised, and now Black King will be experiencing quite serious problems. It's an interesting moment because you can call it a mirror reflection. After bad move a3, Black plays f4 and brings its queen to do the action. And c5, it's the mirror pawn sacrifice that cuts Black's queen and gives White an opportunity to organize a strong attack against compromised Black's position in the center. So after Wanka plays queen f5, I recognize that I have to go on e3, but after bishop e5, I was already in quite a bad mood, cursing myself for not playing knight d5, and made a terrible mistake, knight d5. Blunder. The best move was g3, the fearless g3, but it was not easy to see that after bishop takes e3, and hg3, rook g3, king f2, rook f3, king e1, White could actually protect its king against immediate threats. And after knight d5, queen h3, the game is probably over, and I nearly resigned, but then I thought, why not to play a few more moves? And somehow Wanka was probably also expecting the game to be won easily, but it's always difficult to win a winning position. And he did not play energetically enough. And after a couple of inaccuracies, the situation became completely unclear. I have to say that the time control in Soviet junior events, in most of them, was 45 moves in 2 hours and 15 minutes. And then the game had to be adjourned. And we were making last moves in a wild time scramble under terrible pressure. And I don't remember, we got probably a minute or two left.
And he's repeated the Slav defense again. Whipping out the moves. Kasparov, it's exactly the same opening.
And on move 38, I committed another blunder. Meanwhile, on the neighboring board, Tura eventually beat Gabi Rachmanov, as expected, and went a half point ahead. And now everything depended on the outcome of my game with Lung. But I guess the local organizers, they're already celebrating Zurab's gold medal. And Maya, of course, already fixed her victory by winning the last game and scoring an impressive 8 out of 9. And my position looked terrible and finished me off at move 40, 40, 42, 43, and even 46. But we played so quickly that we passed move 45 and the game was adjourned only at move 49 after I made my 49th move. The adjourned position looked better than anything I had before, but still Black had 2 bishops, and if they could consolidate the position and bring a queen to the king to the center, then it would be over. And we had a couple of hours to analyze the game, and there were a few friends and helpers who made some suggestions, and the most useful advice came from Yerevan coach Albert Arutyunov, who joined our trainers Oleg Privorotsky and Alexander Aslanov, analyzing the game. Because we looked at both moves, bishop b2 and bishop f3, but everybody expected bishop b2 to be a sealed move because it was so natural. And it didn't seem that Lanko had plenty of thoughts about the outcome of other moves. So, but after bishop b2, we looked at bishop c's, rook c7 and just rook c4. And nothing looked good before Arutyunov suggested rook c2, a very quiet move. But after bishop takes h3, rook h2 and rook g2, white is winning one of the black bishops. And if black bishop goes to back to e5, which was the best move, it's a waste of time, and then I can start attacking pawns on the queen side after playing king d2. It was still tough, but when we found rook c2, I was really hopeful that the game could be safe. And as everybody expected, I would end up with a silver medal. As expected, bishop b2 was a sealed move. And after rook c2, Blanka was surprised and he took on a3, hoping that by sacrificing the bishop, he could still had a very comfortable endgame with his king in the center and bishop and 2 passed pawns, offering him excellent winning chances. But he missed a little nuance, because after 52 bishop takes before check, I play king f1, which was the key move of white's plan. Black bishop had no check on c5, to escape white's rook's attack. And thus, my rook could actually take a bishop on g4, but also appear on e4, cutting black king on f5. And without king appearing in the center on e5, black couldn't utilize the 2 passed pawns on the queen side. After I played rook e4 at move 55, Lanka thought for a long time. I guess he already recognized that he missed the win. And maybe he was thinking about his chances that he missed before the adjournment. But while he was thinking, and I was sitting in my chair at stage, I looked around and I saw strange commotion in the group of our delegation, where Alexander Aslanov was visibly anxious. And I almost immediately grasped what was happening, because Aslanov had a phenomenal memory. He could memorize dozens of words and then repeat them in any order. He could calculate instantly, multiplying big numbers. And when I saw him taking a piece of paper and writing something, I realized that he was trying to check the outcome of this tournament decided by Bulgakov, by tiebreak. And it meant that some kind of a miracle has happened. And I was probably ahead of Stura. It transpired that during the adjournment session, a miracle had indeed occurred. In this round, my previous opponents played well, whereas Stura's opponents did less. But the last to let him down was, what an irony, his compatriot Zurab Azmaparashvili, my future friend and second in several world championship matches, who won his adjourned game against Leonid Zaid. A draw in that game would have given me and Stura identical Buchel scores, and then Stura would have been declared champion on the greater number of wins. Because I was undefeated, I won five games and four draws, and Sturu lost one and won six. And that would be the next tie break since we made a draw, and in case of identical Bulgakov, the number of wins would decide. But however, the Georgian trainers were so confident about the older Zurab's tie break score that they overlooked the game of the younger Zurab. And my final Bulgakov turned out to be half a point higher. Eventually, our game ended in the draw. And what's happened in those seconds after we shook hands with Lanka, it's forever engraved in my memory. I still remember how the tall and corpulent Aslanov dashed from the seventh row to the stage and with the cry, "Gary, Gary, you are the champion!" And he lifted me up in his arms. It was hard to believe what had happened. And for a full hour or so, I kept repeating to myself, "I'm the champion, I'm the champion." At the closing ceremony, Anatoly Bukhovsky, the senior trainer of the USSR junior team, read out the results, congratulated Maya Chibudanidze and all the prize winners on their success, and concluded his speech with these words: "What can be said about Garry Kasparov? When you become under 18 champion of the USSR at the age of 12, there is nothing more to say." I can just add an anecdotal story told by my mother later on, that the night before the last round, she was invited by Edward Gufeld, Maya Chibudanidze's coach, to a private party in Gufeld's house with Maya's mother and a few other friends and chess officials. And they were talking about the event and about the future. And at one point, Gufeld offered a toast for Maya and Garry, future champions. And my mother, she tried to protest, saying, "No, Edward, it's early, it's still game to be played." And Gufeld gave her a reproaching gaze and said, "Who's talking about tomorrow? I'm raising this toast for the future world champions, Maya Chibudanidze in 1978 and Garry Kasparov in 1984. Needless to say that I was overexcited to become the youngest junior champion under 18 in the Soviet Union. Later only Gata Kamsky repeated this success in 1987. But I didn't know that after such a sweet start, the year 1976 will bring quite a few bitter disappointments in my chess career.